is we are looking at the Lord's Prayer. We talked about our Father who art in heaven 2 weeks ago. It is not my Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. And last week we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not my will be done. So you have already noticed that before we pray for anything for ourselves, we yield ourselves and our will to God's will. And we seek God's kingdom first. And then we are prepared and ready to begin to ask for God to work and do something for our needs. And the first one Jesus invites us to pray for, it is, give us this day our daily bread. I love it. Bread. You can find bread in the Bible more than 300 times. Everywhere. If you keep tracking bread in the Bible, you may tell almost the entire story of the Bible, from the only story of Adam and Eve when they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. God says, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat. Okay, you're really good. So we will do that more. So when God uses Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, they didn't have time. They have to walk and walk and walk, sometimes run. They didn't have time to cook well, so they didn't have time to eat on their bread. So they had unleavened bread. Yes, you're really good. So you remember in the wilderness for 40 years, they were given manna from the heaven, which they made? Bread. Amen. And let's go to Jesus' time. When Jesus began his ministry right after he was baptized by John the Baptist, he went to the wilderness and he was fasting for 40 days. Believe me, he must have been really hungry. I cannot make it even one day. For 40 days. And in the Bible, we find the devil, Satan, or whatever the guy came to him and brought him a stone, saying, okay, Jesus, you must be hungry. Come on. You need to eat. You need to live. And you are the Son of God, so make this stone into a loaf of bread. So later, there were multitude, 5,000 and 7,000 following Jesus. Okay, Jesus knew they were hungry. Then with what? Jesus feed them. Fish and? Yes, yes, you're really good. And on the last night, he had dinner with his disciples. We call that the Last Supper. And he takes what? He takes the bread and gave thanks to God and broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is given for you. Remember me. Remember me all the time whenever you eat. Amen. You're really good. What Jesus means with the bread was not a special bread of the Holy Communion, but simply the bread we have for our meal. Whenever we eat bread, Jesus asks us to remember them, remember Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, he is the bread of life. And the whole biblical narratives, they are telling us, as bread sustains us and nourish our body and help us to move on, live our lives, Jesus is the one we really need in our faith journey to sustain and move forward, because Jesus is the bread of life. Then how? How does our prayer and your prayer work with the bread? So I have a video clip. Let's take a look. Is that how your prayer works? You just sit down at the table and nobody has to prepare the meal. I like that part. That sounds really cool. And you say, oh God, give us daily bread, and ta-da. No, of course not. That doesn't work that way. And then, how does God work? How does God give us our daily bread? I really appreciate all the farmers and ranchers who spend so many days and nights toiling their soil and taking care of their fields and animals in order to provide our daily bread. And then, right after the grain is harvested, there are truckers who pick them up and carry them to the mill. And the millers, they milled it into flour. Then truckers, they carried them to the bakery or market. Then bakers baked it. And truckers again, they carried them to marketplaces or some restaurants. And there are some people in the restaurant who preserve it and cook it again. And finally, it is brought to us, to our table. We may see how many hands have touched this bread. In order to give us our daily bread, it is not simply giving a certain amount of money and exchanging it. I mean, let's see all of them. God uses so many people to answer our prayer, my prayer and your prayer. That is awesome. God uses so many people, you and me, to do God's work. That is how we receive our daily bread. And of course, sometimes it is not only somebody else giving our bread on our table. It is also our call to give somebody else their daily bread. This prayer of daily bread is an invitation. It is God's invitation to meet somebody's needs. For most of us, we have food on the table. And our struggle happens because we want more. We want more than our daily food on our table. But there are so many people who do not know where their next meal comes from. In many places in their third country, give us daily bread. That is a real prayer for their living because they do not know where it comes from. They do not have enough food to feed their children and their family. It is not just a prayer for the people in some special area. And about 49 million Americans, including about 16 million children, they live in their household that they do not have enough nutritious food regularly, which means about 1 in 5 children in the United States, they go to bed with a hungry stomach at some point during the year. And here is the map, the poverty map, which tells us about our local community, Stirling and Rockford, Illinois. And I want us to think about this prayer of daily bread. It means so many people are real bread. So many times we forget that there are many people even in the need of the food, the basic food on their table for their spouse, for their children, and for themselves. For many of our neighbors, this prayer literally means a meal on their table when they pray, give us this day our daily bread. And let me tell you, we may be the people God uses to give them their daily bread or give them a chance for them to work for their daily bread, as God is the God of the second chance. The God is the God who uses many people to answer people's prayer. And I know many of our church members are doing so precious ministries, such as body bags and our local community breakfast ministry. That is so precious, and I'm so proud of you. And we need to think not just the food on our table. Let's think about another one. At your work, school, and home, some of them might be thinking, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I feel hopeless. I feel depressed, frustrated. I don't know what to do. I feel really lonely. I don't see God anywhere. You know what? You may be the person who says, hey, today you look different. I just noticed you look discouraged. I mean, I may not be able to give you the solution, but I want to say I care about you. I pray for you. And if there is anything that I can do for you, please let me know. In that moment, we may become God's answer to the person in that moment. When someone is kind of in need, we stop and help them. Maybe somebody in the side road, they might be praying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my flat tire. Actually, that was my story. A few years ago, I was driving to Milledgeville to see my wife. At the time, my wife was the pastor of Milledgeville UMC, and I was often driving on Lynn Boulevard, and I had no idea I would be the pastor of this church 5 years later, and I'm here now, thank God. And anyway, it was the winter, and there was black ice, and my car got spinned so bad. So many times, and I almost got killed because the last thing that I saw was a semi coming toward me in a couple of seconds. And it was kind of a hillside, and when I tried to drive back to the road, my car slightly coasted down and down and down. I said, God, I don't know what to do. Please help. And I was almost crying, yes. Then I saw a car approaching, and four people, they came out of the car, and they said, hey, man, you okay? I think you need help. Yes, of course. And he said, we will push your car, so hold fast your handle. You know what? I still remember the first word that I spoke. Oh, thank God. Thank God. I talked to them, you are the angels. You are the answer to my prayer. Let me tell you, we can be the answer to somebody's prayer. And we can be the representative of God's work in our daily lives with our love and prayer. When Jesus asks us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, we know it is not just my or me. It is ours. Because we are not alone in God's love and care. And sometimes people ask me, okay, you are the pastor. Do you really believe in God? Oh, yes, I do. And they said, then how do you believe in good and loving God when 25 or 30,000 people every day die in starvation or suffer from malnutrition around the world? How do you reconcile that tragedy? Let me ask you, how do you deal with that? How do you answer to the question? And I wanna ask them again. Is there enough food on this planet for all the people. Well, if there is, where does the problem arise? Why? And what can we do, and what do you do for the people in need? Maybe we may say God is responsible for the production, sun, moon, air, rain, and whatever we call the mother of nature. God is in control of the mother of nature, and we are responsible for distribution as God's co-worker. I want to wrap it up. This week, we need to think about this. And every day, we need to receive our daily bread. And when we say daily bread, it is not just for food on our table, but all we need. And God is ultimately provide. God provides our ultimate bread of life. And it is Jesus Christ in our lives, so that on our faith journey, we may become more like Jesus every day, more and more, in our word, action, and deed. And the second thing is, we need to remember. We need to be somebody's daily bread in many ways. We are given God's grace and love and opportunity to work and save our fortunes. And we have daily bread which sustains us, nourish us, and help us move forward in our faith journey. And we are called to share, do God's work in our words, in deed, and action. Amen.